Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. In these times when many of us feel powerless to influence and shape events, a Princeton professor offers ways to restore power to the people. We'll meet him in a few moments. But first, for many days now, events have seemed to be spinning out of control in Washington, where no one seems to have the power to resolve the potentially damaging dispute between Capitol Hill and the White House. Joining us to discuss the latest in the government funding debt ceiling dispute, Missouri 1st District Democratic Congressman William Lacy Clay. Congressman, nice to have you.
Thank you for having me back on the show, and I want to say how great your new offices look here in Grand Center. I'm so impressed.
Yeah, well, we are, too. It's a wonderful building. Congratulations to you, by the way, too, and the Clay family, I should say, for the fact that the bridge downtown has now been named after your father, and that's quite an honor.
And my dad and our entire family really appreciate the recognition. In his speech, he talked about how bridges have made a difference in his life and how he's worked to bridge some gaps.
Well, we could use a few bridges, you know where. Right now, we've got to talk about what the heck is going on in the Capitol. What are you hearing today?
Today, there will be a meeting between the president and the House and Senate leadership of both parties at 2 p.m. Hopefully, out of this meeting, it will put the Senate and the House on track to first resolve the debt ceiling issue, which is fast approaching this Thursday. I can see the Senate doing its work in a day or two, and then the House taking a shot at the bill that the Senate sends it.
Well, the House taking a shot is not exactly the same thing as saying that the House will pass whatever the Senate does. It's not often disposed to do that.
The prospects are not good, and I've shared with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle how negatively we are perceived as a Congress, both the Senate and the House, because there's inactivity, because we have not been able to do our constitutionally required task of passing a budget or lifting the debt ceiling.
Well, one of the things that might help convince your colleagues of that is the fact that NBC has just put out a poll saying that 60% of the American people would like to fire every member of Congress right now if they could.
And I certainly understand the anger of the American people, and I've heard it loud and clear after being home this weekend and last weekend from the people. And they've also told us the more you guys talk, the more we get disgusted with you, because you're not saying anything. You're moving your chops. And there's inaction. And so I understand the anger on the part of the American people, because they do expect government to function. And they expect government to be able to do the mundane things, like pass a budget, like pass 12 or 13 appropriation bills, and to pay the bills. You know, the full faith and credit of our country is at stake here. And as the IMF president said, it's about our word as a country. We have said, if you finance our debt, we will pay you.
Well, you've expressed off the air the fact that you've heard from a lot of constituents who are already feeling the pain, and that's really too bad. People all over the country are, but what we're looking at is pain being distributed worldwide if this thing isn't resolved by Thursday or very shortly thereafter.
That is correct. When you think about the 25,000 people that are impacted, that are federal employees, probably 15 or 20,000 more federal contractors in the St. Louis region, as well as all of the retirees of the military, of Social Security, beneficiaries, it is going to have a direct impact on our region's economy as well as the world economy. And that is territory that we have never really been in. Those are uncharted waters. that we really don't need to test and we really don't need to go to.
I think there are probably some listeners out there that would like to have a crack at you, Congressman Clay, in view of all of this. Your shoulders are broad, I'm sure.
I've had a little experience at this.
Yes, let me give our numbers. Sure. 382-8255 is the number. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org or send us a tweet at STL on air. I'm just looking at my notes here, and I read that Missouri is the 13th hardest hit state by the shutdown because of defense contracts, seniors, and all the rest of them. You say that you've been talking to your colleagues and trying to make them understand how in what little regard Congress is being held these days.
Sure.
Are they listening? I mean, is this going to have any appreciable difference on how a decision and when a decision is made?
I think the vast majority that I talk to are listening, Republicans and Democrats. Even my Republican colleagues who have been there for a certain number of years feel as though they have gone down the wrong path. And now they have to figure out, how do we pull back? How do we stop this extortion and blackmail? Over, remember initially, this was all about repealing Obamacare. They have backed off of that, and now they want a one-year delay of Obamacare. And the president has said, no, we will not go negotiate you doing your job repeal a law. First, do your job, which is to pass a continuing resolution and to lift the debt ceiling.
There have been some people who have suggested that this thing could be resolved probably if Speaker Boehner would simply say, okay, I'm going for a straight up or down vote on this thing. Does he have the moxie to do that?
We will know in a very short time. This week is the beginning of what we call a discharge petition. It will get all 200 Democrat signatures. We need 217 to bring the issue of a clean continuing resolution to the floor. We will see if we get those 17 members of the Republican Party and to see if they want to stand up for this country or if they want to continue to stand with Tea Party extremists.
Are there 17 Republicans there, do you think? You know your colleagues fairly well, I'm sure, on both sides of the aisle. Are there 17-plus Republicans who would vote for the CR, a clean CR?
Yes, I believe they are. I think there's more than 17. The problem is those that step forward first will be browbeat. They will be harassed and harangued by the extremist element of their party. And sometimes you have to show courage. And this is one of those times, and they may have to show courage to Leader Cantor and Speaker Boehner. But they know better. In my conversations with them, they know this is not how government is supposed to function.
Well, what is the future, would you think, of the Tea Party, your Tea Party colleagues?
It's very a very interesting dynamic here. I mean, look, as a Democrat, as a partisan, you see the split occurring in the Republican Party. So, I mean, it doesn't disappoint me in that respect, although we are a country built on a two-party system, and I see different factions lining up on the Republican side. It is possible that the Tea Party faction could split the Republican Party into
and maybe become a third party in and of itself.
It's certainly going in that direction.
Let's take some calls. We have a number of them already. Not surprisingly, we'll begin with Ron calling from Marthasville. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, yes, Congressman, and Congressman, in all due respect, I missed the first part of the show, so maybe there's a reason why, but I wonder why you're here in Missouri and not in Washington working full-time to get this thing done. It's so important to all of us. I know we're all concerned about it. And also, the thing you said about the third party, we drastically need a third party. Thank you.
Ron, just for your information, the House meets at 6:30 tonight, and you know, planes can get us there within an hour and a half.
Oh,
so
good.
Thanks for the call.
Okay.
I'll have to say, we had anticipated talking to you by phone today and then learned that you were going to be here. And when I heard that, I said to myself, well, obviously nothing is going to be happening through at least the most part of Monday.
Yeah, when you think about it, the House had a rare Saturday session, and that was over by 12 noon Eastern time, which gives you time to travel. They intentionally gave us a travel date.
All right. Well, in any case, as you're saying, you could be back there quickly if that became necessary. Let's take another call. Ed joins us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, Congressman. I was just wondering President Obama cannot run again because he's limited. And I was wondering who you would think would be a good... because I'm gonna make a suggestion. I grew up during the Vietnam years, and I'm going to make a suggestion. I'd like to see the Secretary of State Kerry and Chuck Hagel as the ticket, because they were both in Vietnam, and we won't repeat that mistake like we have in Iraq and Afghanistan.
You know, Ed, it is going to be a spirited contest to replace this president in the Democratic Party, and I could see quite a few potential candidates surfacing, like Joe Biden, who is the vice president, like Hillary Clinton, and even Kerry, who you mentioned, Hagel. Is a former Republican, but who knows? He may want to switch parties. There may be some new blood that may rise to the surface, just like we saw in 08 with this president.
This whole situation going on right now could evolve in such a way that new personalities surface. I have to take a break. We'll do that now. Our guest is Congressman Lacey Clay from the 1st District of St. Louis, a Democratic congressman. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. We'd like you to be a part of it at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Or send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll continue our conversation with Congressman William Lacey Clay in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. The nonprofit, nonpartisan group Citizens Utility Board is releasing a new report on utility savings available to Illinois residents. And on Friday, Missouri Governor Jay Nixon directed his staff to develop a proposal for reopening the state's national parks, including the Gateway Arch. We'll have an update on those plans. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Well, Governor Nixon is scrambling like a lot of governors are to try to keep some of these well-known places and federally funded places open because a lot of people are coming to town for baseball and what have you.
Sure.
Your thoughts on all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to keep the arch open. It was so so weird seeing the lights off on the top of the arch the other night. So it is a tourist attraction. It makes sense. It benefits Missouri tax coffers, and so I don't have a problem with Nixon trying to find the resources to keep it open.
Do you have any numbers with regard to the people in this immediate area, perhaps even in your district, who are affected by this shutdown?
We know for the region that Scott Air Force Base is impacted. Lots of my constituents work at Scott. They have been furloughed. Most of the federal agencies, the employees have been furloughed. The Washington Post highlighted a family out of Florissant, Missouri, who both parents work in the federal government. And I mean, look, it gets to a point where the public frustration is going to boil over. That is why I have decided, okay, the federal government's furloughed, but I'm not. And so we've kept all three of our offices open. I consider all of my staff essential. We can at least intake the cases and have them ready for when the federal government opens back up.
What do you see as a potential and possible solution to this, a compromise of some sort?
I see where there will first be movement on lifting the debt ceiling because the Republican Party's allies from Wall Street have made it clear, hey, you guys have gone too far with this. You are now calling into question the full faith and credit of this nation and our bond market and our stock market. And so, and I'm sure they've heard it loud and clear from their patrons from Wall Street. So I think that that'll be dealt with first. It's going to be a tougher task to reopen government because that's where the Tea Party has dug in their heels. And until Speaker Boehner decides we're going to have a vote on a clean resolution, there will be inaction and it probably will not open.
What can the Democratic Party, the administration, do? What can it give up? I mean, obviously, if there's going to be a compromise of some sort, there's going to have to be some give someplace on the administration side.
Well, and I appreciate it to this point that the Democratic Party has stuck together and united in a united front with the president and said there will be no hostage taking. There will be no ransom paid. There will be no extortion for the Congress doing its job. And when you think about the whole Affordable Care Act. I mean, look, it's been passed into law. It's been sustained by the Supreme Court, and it's gone into effect.
But that's out of the mix now. I think everybody concedes that the Republican Party has given up on trying to defund Obamacare. Mm-hmm. But there is talk about perhaps eliminating the tax on medical devices as something, a bone to throw to the other side.
I'm not for that. Because then you take away one of the funding mechanisms to sustain the Affordable Care Act. I mean, look, so that's where the indifferences come in, and we are just the Democratic Party. My colleagues are so glad that we have not given ground yet.
Well, are you saying, therefore, that you're in such a position you don't have to give any ground, that it's all going to have to come from the other side?
I would think so, because when you look at the attitudes of the American people in these several polls, the Wall Street Journal, NBC poll, it says the people are disgusted with the way we run Washington, and they, for the most part, they blame the Republican House members, and starting with John Boehner.
So what I think I'm hearing is the Democratic Party is going to stay united, not give up anything, and just wait for the Republicans to collapse on this.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the Republican strategy, they cannot be successful. I believe now they are reaching for a way out of this. Whether they find that path, only time will tell. But as time goes on, their ratings go down.
Well, time being the operative word here, because time is running.
Yes,
got,
it is.
We've got until what, Thursday?
Till Thursday.
Let's take another call. Susan will join us from St. Peter's. Susan, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. Oop, I think we just lost Susan. Let me just turn the page a little bit. We've been talking about Obamacare, mm-hmm. and you have suggested that that's out of the mix here. But Obamacare has taken some hits in the recent weeks because of all the glitches in getting people signed up. How much of a problem would you anticipate this to be for the Affordable Care Act?
I don't think it's a real problem. And you have until the middle of March of 2014. I think that with a massive new program like this, we need to allow for some time for them to work the glitches out. I won't start shopping for a health care plan for my family and I until sometime next month.
And you don't need a health care plan, do you? I mean, you're a member of Congress. They've got the Cadillac of health care.
Members of Congress have been required to shop on the exchange. It's by law. Senator Grassley made sure of that. I will be shopping on the District of Columbia Small Business Health Exchange.
But you're going to wait because there's a little difficulty getting
yeah,
signed
there's the attraction has been that people are inquisitive, people are starting to shop, so they've had about 14 million hits in the last 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, was October 1st, I think.
Yeah.
Let's take another call. This one from Town and Country. Barbara Ann joins us. Go ahead. You're on the air with
Hi.
Congressman Clay.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call. I sure do appreciate it. I just wanted the congressman to know that where I worked for 21 years, I was laid off with seven other people due to sequester. And now my elected officials want to come along and defund this government and affect my retirement and affect my savings and affect my way of life. And I will share with you, I have been a lifelong Republican. I was a young Republican in college. And I've already called some of the congressmen. I've called Boehner's office. And I've told them how I feel about this. I want them to know that I will never vote Republican again.
Well,
and I don't always agree with the Democratic Party. So this is going to be a tough decision
sure.
to make what to do, to vote or not to vote.
Well, and I appreciate you calling in today. And hopefully you called your member of Congress and you've told
Absolutely.
Them about your disgust.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And
Wagner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And really, you know, when you think about how this started, they knew months ago that they didn't have a budget deal, that they had no intentions of negotiating with the Senate, and all of this could have been avoided. And I think that when they decided to shut down the government, it was intentional.
So, it should be a give and a take. You win sometimes, I win sometimes. And that's just part of being an elected official.
Well, I hope they heard your disgust.
I've even called out to California. I've called a bunch of them and said, I don't live in your district, but I want you to know exactly how I feel about all this. And I am furious about the fact that they would do this to this country. To me, this country should come first. I don't care what party you're in. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you very much.
But, you know, Congressman, people tend to have short memories. We've got a little more than a year, before the next election. There will be other crises between now and then, and people might tend, unless we just hit the wall on this, people tend to forget this, something like this.
I'm not sure they will forget this because it is such a stark contrast to how people were brought up in this country and how our history has been that the Congress serves the people. Now it seems all of that is out of whack.
Well, we will certainly see. I'll just remind our listeners that you are listening to St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Back to the phones. We'll bring in Dan calling from the city of St. Louis, probably from your district, Congressman. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, Congressman. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. I've been having a big problem with Citizens United and how all this money is influencing politics. Can you state some your position on campaign contributions? And can you also state if you have received any money from Paul McKee? And that's my question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If you look at my fundraising, I'm not a big fundraiser. So, I mean, and most of my funds come from average Missourians in my who live in my district at $25 to $50 a pop. I never have a lot of money on hand. And I've been criticized for not being a more aggressive fundraiser. Well, a lot of times different special interests don't give to me because I'm usually not on their side. I don't get a lot of $5,000, $10,000 hits, okay? And so I'm kind of an anomaly. Now I will rise to the occasion when I have opposition, but for the most part, it's not a big deal for me to have cash on hand. I could care less because it takes away from the time I spend serving people. And I don't turn down any money, okay? Because, I mean, it's that difficult to raise money, all right?
Has Paul McKee been a donor to your campaign?
Sure, he's been a donor just like all of the other corporations in this community, most of them. Monsanto, Bank of America, Wells Fargo.
All right. As time begins to get away, let me take one more phone call. This one from Jeff in St. Louis. Has to be quick, Jeff, but go ahead. We lost them all. I'm afraid our callers have suddenly flown the coop for some reason. So you're preparing to possibly go back today. Is that essentially what we're looking at?
Sure.
Right.
Sure. I mean, it's there's no deal in sight. There's no new developments, but I stand ready to reopen government and to also lift the debt ceiling so that we can pay our bills.
And you're anticipating an agreement by Thursday?
I think the pressure's on to get an agreement by Thursday now. You know, the devil is in the details, and so there may be some hesitation on the part of the House and especially Speaker Boehner.
That's Congressman William Lacey Clay from the 1st District of St. Louis, Democratic congressman. He, like all the rest of us, are awaiting a word from Washington, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, mm-hmm. that some sort of a resolution to the crisis, the two crises that exist right now, the government shutdown and the debt ceiling situation, are resolved and resolved quickly. Congressman Clay, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Always good to see you. Regards to your dad when you see him.
I certainly will. Bye-bye.
We'll be back in just a moment. When we come back, is grassroots political power the solution to our country's problems? We'll talk about that next on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.